Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
His opinion is valid. His observations and experience in that locker room is valid. I think it's more, hey, you're the third string running back. You really need to put that out there and start more, nonsense.
Mike Gill is ready for us. Let's go to Mike Gill from 97.3 ESPN. Mike, welcome to the show, man.
Well, we can't.
Hey, guys. Sorry about that. I'm having some laptop issues.
Yeah, we're all having.
Having some laptop issues. My power cord bent, so it didn't charge. So when I turned my laptop on this morning, dead. So I had to go to my backup. My backup's not linked to my in-house because I got new Wi-Fi. I got to get the code, but here I am.
That's one of the worst things of being a writer / reporter. You always dump your power cord into your bag, you know, and they start to fray. And all of a sudden, one day, it stops working. And you're like,
anybody who's an Android guy, like I'm the rare Android guy, has the C plug. Well, the C plug bent. I'm looking at it like, what the heck happened to this? So it must have got bent in my bag or something. But yeah,
Dan Soder, the comedian, has a great thing about when he talks about Android people, and he found an Android phone in the back of a cab, and he said, should I keep it? It's an Android. This guy's having enough problems in his life. And then he's like, everybody gets butthurt when he says that. But anyway, I digress. There's nothing wrong with Android phones. I apologize, Mike. But I'm into comedy because of the Tom Brady roast. We'll get to that in a little bit. But Howie Roseman spoke yesterday on WIP, said some interesting things. Xander brought up the fact that he mentioned TJ Edwards when he was talking about Jeremiah Trotter Jr., mainly about the instincts. Do you think that's I made a mistake acknowledgement, or is just trying to go down the narrow routes of, hey, these guys are similar from the fact that they understand what's going on from step one, which is a big part of it in linebacker.
What do you mean, did he make a mistake in letting Edwards go? Was that what you're insinuating?
Well, that was Xander's take. My take was I just think he was trying to compare the instincts of the players. But again, when you say something and you're in the position of Howie Roseman is, people take the baton and they go in a million different directions. It could be listeners all think something differently. When you bring up TJ Edwards, after you just lost TJ Edwards, and by the way, you had a big problem trying to replace him, is that sort of a subconscious nod to, hey, we probably should have kept this guy?
Well, I think they acknowledged that they had a good player and that they no longer have that player. And they're trying to tell themselves that we can go down the road of getting a guy. This guy was a non-drafted player. We don't have to get a guy in the high rounds to find a player that we really, really like. So we have this player, and I probably unfair to Trotter to put a comparison to TJ Edwards, who's turned into arguably a top 10 player at his potentially. We don't have to draft a guy. We don't have to put a lot of high value into that position. We can find a guy, not even draft him, and he could be one of the best players at that position. So I think that's what maybe the messaging is trying to be, you know, to try to get that out there is, hey, we think we found a couple guys who were not highly thought of.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's at least an acknowledgement of we had a player that would be a good thing if our new guy we drafted looked something like that guy. I don't know. Maybe he didn't make the mistake. I think it is plausible that TJ wanted to go home, wanted to play in Chicago, and really never even thought about coming back here. That's possible too. We don't know. Mike, I want to ask you,
I think, although I'm pretty sure Clay Harbor had put out there that the Eagles never even made him an offer. So
yeah,
I guess we'll never know.
And TJ went on. There's a big thing that TJ went on a Chicago radio station, said he wanted to come home, and everybody. And I always say, they're not under oath, guys. He just signed with the Bears. Of course he's going to say he wanted to come home.
Right.
The Eagles may have tried to get him back, may not have tried to get him back, but we don't know that completely. We went in this TJ Edwards wormhole. I'm going to go the fifth round picks in general. Boy, over the past couple of days, Mike, I've gotten a lot of these fifth-round picks. They're fifth-round picks. Anaya Smith, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., Trevor Keegan. We're like, Trevor Keegan's going to push Tyler Steen. He might start. He's a captain at Michigan. Anaya Smith evidently runs routes like Justin Jefferson. We know Trot. Trot's got it from both angles because of his legacy nature of being with the Eagles and his dad. Everybody's got to pump the brakes on these fifth round picks, don't they?
Yes. And I think it is, it's a byproduct, John and Xander, I think anyway, of just so many people in the space. You know, everybody's a draft expert now, and there's so many people, and somebody wants to say something that 5 years from now they say, I was the guy that told you that this kid was the next Justin Jefferson. Because half the time, no one remembers who said it. No one remembers that you were wrong. And no one remembers if you hit the home run on it. So you have to be the guy that comes back out and say, hey, 5 years ago, you know, I said this guy was going to do this. It's just so many people in the space that are trying to. And one thing, you know, it's another world that we live in is people are paid based on the amount of clicks they get. So one of the best click articles is NFL comparisons. What does this player look like? Who does he remind me of? Because people want some sort of like point of reference. Okay, you got this guy. What can he do? Who does he remind you of? Well, he reminds me of this guy. And that's where all these crazy things start coming out of the woodworks of, well, this guy reminds me of him. You know, every single article that I've read about undrafted rookie free agents, you would think Gabe Hall is going to turn Aaron.
Yeah, Donald. Gabe's a future superstar.
Right. He's going to be Aaron Donald. He's 6'6", 291, 34-inch measurements. Can you tell I've read these articles? I know his measurements, his arm length. He plays up and down the line. I mean, did anybody else pick? It's like Major League. How come no one else picked up on this guy? I mean, it feels like that's every undrafted rookie free agent article that you read at this time of the year. So, listen, you know, I know the Eagles, we talk about this a lot. You don't always hit. Howie makes mistakes. He makes bad picks. But what they do is put themselves in position to get the guys at the right time and find players at the right time, not overdraft players. How many people on my timeline were screaming and yelling because they drafted Hunt and had Trotter on the board? Well, two rounds later, Jeremiah Trotter was available. Yeah. So,
same thing with N'Kobe Dean and Cam Jurgens. Everybody was losing their mind. N'Kobe's fallen, and the Eagles really like Cam Jurgens. And they took Cam Jurgens. And
by the way, have you guys seen this Kenny Gainwell audio? Have you talked about this?
Yeah, we're. I was going to bring that up as well. Yeah.
All right. I was like, did this when I seeing what I thought I saw in real time? When did this come out here?
Speaking of a
fifth round pick who hasn't done squat.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know if this is like the current generation where, as you mentioned, everybody's in the space, everybody's got a platform. And you know, I don't know if people know their roles, because I do think there was a little bit of disconnect, and the Eagles were in a unique situation as an organization. I mean, how many teams have Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox and Lane Johnson, Brandon Graham, guys who've been there forever? Not many, right? Nobody else, as a matter of fact. So, and they were performing at such a high level. Then you have sort of a stasis, which can be bad. I'm not saying it's great, but it you know. But the point is, Mike, they're the leaders. Sorry, Kenny Gainwell. Sorry, Britton Cubby, who's the nicest guy in the world. You're not going to have the same kind of voice as those guys have earned. And you better recognize that. And I'm not sure the modern generation recognizes that as much as maybe prior generations. You got to wait your turn when it comes to having a voice and leadership and things like that.
Yeah, it was just a weird, like, is he suggesting that the front office and the coaches and the players, there was a disconnect there that they weren't talking? Was it just between the players? I think we talked about it a week or two ago, you know, that there was a report that, you know, somebody in the secondary wasn't talking to Desai, nameless guy, but I think we can kind of figure out who that might be. He's in the secondary, had a lousy year, and the coach got fired. But was it between the players and the coaches? Was the front office not like trying to mingle and get this like back together? There was a lot of like ambiguity in this comment here that is like, oh,
that's not good. I'll say this. You're, from Nick Sirianni's perspective, Mr. Connection, it's not a good thing that nobody's connecting. And that's, there's such an intangible nature to that. You know, there's no numbers, there's no analytics. Alec Hallaby can't come down with a printout and say, we got to do this in this situation. It's all about the human nature and human beings coexisting. So I don't know how you fix that. But if your whole coaching philosophy is built on connection, you better have a perception that you're fixing it, or you're going to be in trouble. I will say that. I mean, and that's part of the reason I don't like.
Do they think they got the guys out?
Well, who'd they get? But, and this is another thing you talk about, and I don't even, I shouldn't even go down this route. But then you got the guys spiking the football who are never there, the Craig Cartons of the world, even somebody on our network, which I'm probably not allowed to say, but I'll say it. And then they go, see? It's Kenny Gainwell. Who was Kenny Gainwell? Again, know your role. I feel like it's more of a situation that younger people today want to skip steps. And nobody's listening to you as the third running back or the backup running back or the fifth receiver. Has that ever been the case?
It would be different if he was one of these guys who wasn't getting an opportunity and the fans were clamoring to see more from that guy. They might have more value. He has got an opportunity and not done much with it. And quite frankly, it's been a disappointment. I mean, Kenny Gainwell has gotten opportunities to the point where you're like, why do they keep playing this guy? So I think that certainly put stock into it and minimizes his voice to everybody, because people, but if he was the guy that, like, let's say, you know, Swift had a mediocre year and you're like, why do they keep playing Swift? They got Gainwell, let Gainwell get a shot, and they never went to him. And then Gainwell says this, then he has more value to the fans. But because he's a guy that just has been disappointing. I thought Gainwell would have been a much more used weapon when he got drafted. When they drafted him, his style play, he was a wide receiver in college. He seemed like a guy they could have been more creative with. It hasn't worked out. And the opportunity he hasn't dazzled with these. So you're like, why do they keep playing this guy? So I think that minimizes even more. Like, you're like, well, what is this guy saying? Like, you're barely doing anything. But, you know, they got rid of, like, there's a lot of talk about Desai that he didn't communicate well. Was he the guy that wasn't communicating on the defense?
Didn't have a presence, Mike. He didn't have a presence.
So Gainwell, is he saying this is 53, just the offense? You know what I'm saying? It was pretty unclear of where he was kind of directing this.
It's amazing to me how quickly things change. I mean, this was the standard for culture, and everybody was like, when they went on the run, whatever, 24, whatever it ended up, winning games 25 out of 27. And then it goes off the rails, and everybody's pointing fingers, man. I don't know. The old adage is, if you point fingers, you better be careful because there's probably four pointing right back at you. And I think that's what happened to the Eagles. And losing, much as winning cures all ills, losing creates so many more ills. And I think that's what happened. But, and you know, Britton, you had Britton at the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Most honest guy in the world. Nicest guy in the world. But you got to know your role, dude. You know?
John, don't you put some stock, though? There's 53 guys in the locker room. Kenny Gainwell's coming out and saying it, whether he contributed to the team or not, or he has a bone to pick or not. He's in the locker room. I get what you're saying. Dan Cilio, who's in our chat, isn't in the locker room. Craig Carton's not in the locker room. Kenny Gainwell's in the locker room. He's a part of the team that Nick wants to be a unit, to communicate, to bond, to be a part of that unit.
Yeah, well, that's fair. I said, if you're going to go down the Nick Sirianni route and talk about connection and all that kind of stuff, this stuff's going to come back. I'm saying it's natural. I'm saying it's all conduce to winning and losing. Nobody's going to sit here and say Jason Kelce's not a culture setter or a good teammate. If they are, except Jason Babin. Lane Johnson, same way. Fletcher, same way. BG's the freaking thermostat of that organization. These are phenomenal.
Xander, I agree with what you're saying. His observations are not invalid because of where he is on the depth chart. Like, you're in there, you have, but I think what John, maybe, I don't want to put words in your mouth, is saying, you're not in a position to start putting that out there accurate. I had Britton Covey on the radio with me. I asked him the question. He answered it, I thought, very honestly. It doesn't mean what he says is not valid. I think it is valid. I think what John is suggesting is, do you really want to? And I don't think Covey said anything to me. He was on other stations and made a different thing. He essentially said, for veteran play caller, that might have been something he thought the offense was too productive. He does take reps in practice. Like, he knows what the plays are. So yes, to go to your point, his opinion is valid. His observations and experience in that locker room is valid. I think it's more, hey, you're the third string running back. Do you really need to put that out there and start more, nonsense?
Yeah, exactly.
That him saying it is not a good career choice for Kenny Gainwell, but I'm talking about the football team. If he's saying that from inside the locker room, and John, you point to whether they win or lose, that's, that determines how we talk about it. Well, yeah, different atmospheres inside the locker room create different results. Nobody's going to chirp the culture or the communication when they go to the Super Bowl. But when you lose 7 of 8 and you get trounced by the Bucs, by the Baker Mayfield Bucs in the wild card, Yeah, well, I think there's validity to criticize.
Well, case
in point is, okay, I have Britton Covey on, and then I have Fletcher Cox on. Fletcher's has a voice where if you say something, that's a valid guy. I ask him the same question. His answer isn't there's a disconnect, or he just won't give you the answer because he knows better than to put that out there. Yeah, it's trying to. Exactly. He's a veteran guy who is not going to air out, hey, yeah, this guy wasn't talking to him. He wasn't talking to him. These guys were connecting, because he knows it's not worth putting that out there and hoping that they can fix it internally.
Well, here's what I always say. So when you get 90, go about your lives, and you're the next 89 people you meet, whether you're stopping at Wawa or going running errands, anywhere. Guess what? Not every single one of them is going to like Mike Gill or Xander Kraus. Not going to happen. That's just the way the world is. I can't get the five before I found somebody who can't stand me. Big deal. Guys work together. Nobody. This assumption, bless you, Mike, that everybody's going to get along. Where did this start? Guys in the NFL have always hated each other, cliques, this and that. The culture of this team, because of four guys, and two of them are gone, so that this is, we're looking right in the rearview mirror. It can't be better.
I also would interject this to Xander's point, which I don't think is invalid, by the way, but sometimes when a player thinks he deserves a bigger role, he's going to say stuff that also is damning to the people who didn't give him that bigger role. So, hey, I think I should be playing more. And I went to talk to the coach, and he basically told me to go pound sand and get out of his office. Well, is that a disconnect? Is he not connecting with them? Are they not listening to him? So you have to take – that's why the player who doesn't have the status that John is talking about, sometimes you have to take with a grain of salt, because – they maybe don't like their role. They don't like what's going on. Other people might say, I don't have a problem with the coach. Well, yeah, you're playing every snap. I mean, so there is a lot of – that's why
and
sometimes –
And now it's changing not only in the organization, but you not only in the locker room, but the organization, because you have Vic Fangio and Kellen Moore. So that was the pendulum effect. Oh, Sean Desai doesn't have a presence. Oh, Brian Johnson's not ready. So they're the scapegoats. Those are the scapegoats.
Now we know.
Ironically, Mike, Vic Fangio's in here with a big reputation. You can't say a goddamn thing to Vic Fangio.
I was going to say, we know that Vic Fangio kind of rules with an iron fist. What kind of personality does Kellen have? We haven't really met him yet.
No. Kellen's, I guarantee he's going to have a little bit of a softer presence than Vic, but to use Vic as the example, because he's got such a long history. I mean, you can make an argument that's not good when it's, you know, basically my way or the highway, and you saw some of the.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy. And order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
At Miami last year, a bunch of the cornerbacks, for instance, and you got two young cornerbacks coming in, bunch of the veteran cornerbacks, one who's going to the Hall of Fame, one who's been a 3-4-time all-pro, couldn't stand the guy. So you can argue it from both perspectives, in the fact that, you're trying to ingrate. It's very difficult to get 90 people on the same page at all times. In fact, I would argue it's impossible. when you're winning and you have Jason Kelce and Fletch and Brandon and Lane Johnson, you got the best culture in the business. When you're losing and guys lesser who don't have the same voice, you can see how jealousy would tend to
And to Mike's point, they go 1-7, maybe Kenny Gainwell's starting to feel vindicated. Like, yeah, I was right. I should have been getting the ball. We didn't win crap. Our offense was stale. But John, here's where I disagree. Are you insinuating that the culture when they win and the culture when they lose is exactly the same and has no impact on the results on the field?
No, but the difference is the individuals. The difference is the Kenny Gainwells and their perception.
I think the culture changes drastically, but I think culture, I mean, I do think it has a part in.
The culture doesn't change because the culture is the same people. The core of the group, the leaders, are the same people.
Well, I certainly think the culture was different last year than it was in 22.
But when why? They because they lost.
Well, yeah, but
why was it great?
So are you saying the culture has no impact on whether they win or lose?
What information about the culture of this team, which is completely intangible, completely nebulous, do you have in 2022 or anybody has in 2022 versus 2023? Zero. Nothing. Not even
Kenny Gainwell chirping it. No, you're right. Yeah, other than an outsider's perspective.
And that goes from the fact that even if you had sort of a fist fight, which there's been plenty of fist fights in the NFL over the years, like you have all these alpha males in a group, one of the things I love about the NFL, I say it all the time because we have a fractured society. I say an NFL locker room is the most inclusive place in the world from a perspective of race and culture wars, everybody coming together, everybody accepts each other. They're all trying to go force for a common goal. People roll their eyes when I say that. I'm dead serious. Elsewhere, everybody's at each other's throats. in that freaking locker room, everybody's friends, everybody's joking around. Now, sometimes you get an a-hole and people don't like him and this and that. People would talk about Carson Wentz. We go all the way back to Carson Wentz and the God Squad and the religion aspect of it. There's always little things with individual people that other individuals are not going to like or not going to understand. That's not going to change when they're 14-3, and it's not going to change when they're 3-14. But the frustration level when you're 3-14, or in the case of the Eagles.
Well, and it also, there are less opportunities. There are less opportunities for it to emerge when you're winning. And when you're losing, that so in the Super Bowl year, when they get to the Super Bowl, they didn't have a lot of opportunities for people's negative side to come out. But in this year, when you we didn't hear anything for the first 11 weeks of the season, and then all of a sudden things start to come out. Yeah, because you've lost 5-6 in a row. Now your personality is allowed to it's not allowed to, but it's starting to come out more as the losing continues. If they would have won those games, would Kenny Gainwell have said the same thing? It doesn't mean the people who set the culture are different. It's just the things that happened changed the way that they
exactly. reacted. It's individuals' perspective. They have one Super Bowl championship. It's now common knowledge, and we couldn't talk about it for a long time. But now I think people know that Darren Sproles and Carson Wentz had a little bit of a dust-up after Carson got injured. Because Carson was depressed and all that, you know, he's having the great season. He's going to be MVP, and you're sort of left behind when you're injured. And Darren's like trying to pick him up. He's like, dude, you know, and Darren was hurt too. It's like, you know, we got to be there for that kind of thing. And they had a little bit of a dust up. So they won the stinking Super Bowl. Is that bad culture? Maybe, but they won the stinking Super Bowl, so nobody gives a crap. You know, I don't know of any bites going on. Maybe Craig Carton does. I don't know of any bites going on last year. I knew about that. That got out there pretty quickly.
I'm done with Kenny Gainwell, you know, and the whole culture of last year. Mike, moving into a new topic. What's the storyline right now that sticks out most to you following the draft? The cornerback room, the defensive back room is deep. The right guard battle with Mekhi Becton. I think people are discussing the slot wide receiver. What right now is sticking out to you that you're looking most forward to seeing how it progresses through camp?
Well, there's two things. One on each side of the ball. The right guard, obviously, is one spot that seemingly is way up for grabs. Who's going to be, you know, is there a favorite, a wild card? You know, does it, I look at it, does it get played out like it did in 2017? Say Amala started, they went to Warmack and then finally went to a guy they felt, you know, hey, you know what? He might not be the sexiest option. Let's go to Wisniewski. You have a situation like potentially like that here where, hey, we like Steen. Let's give him the first shot. Something happens to him. We got these two rookies, or maybe with wild card like Becton after we cross train, maybe him. And if not, we have Hennessy as kind of old faithful. So that spot there. On the other side of the ball, it to me, it's what do they do with Cooper DeJean? That whole story of, is he going to be a safety? Is he going to be an outside corner? Is he a slot guy? Where are they going to play this guy? I think that's the $64,000 question is, what do they do with him? Because if he's an outside corner, who's he supplanting? I mean, you got James Bradbury still here. That's another story. Is he as good as gone? If he's not gone, what happens to Quinyon Mitchell? And if Cooper DeJean, they look at as an outside corner, that puts him third on the depth chart, you would think. So what are they going to do with him and how that and how Bradbury's role affects the rest of the room there? Plus, DeJean gets turned into, by proxy, the safety room. If they don't find a spot for if they probably are saying, we want this guy on the field. Where are we putting him? I think, to me, that's right now probably the biggest conversation heading into whatever's next. We got OTAs, mini camps.
OTAs later this month, mini camp, first time in the Nick Sirianni era. I like the Chance Warmack. I always like a Chance Warmack poll. That's well done by you, Mike Gill. I like the Wisniewski comparison with Matt Hennessy as well. I hadn't thought about that. That's a good one, Mike, because as you mentioned, they wanted Isaac. Isaac turned out to be a very good player, but
yeah,
I think people forget he struggled early when they tried to make him into a starter. And they had to default back to Wisniewski, a veteran player. You know, maybe lacked some talent, but it was able to hold down the fort, so to speak, and they were able to go through. Maybe that's Matt Hennessy's role, because
right.
Kyle Shanahan's not ready.
They won the Super Bowl with Wisniewski and Big V playing on the left side together.
Yeah.
Pretty wild. Really
Monty Bitai, yeah. That team is incredible. We used to have our, like, to me, the best Eagles team I've ever covered is the team that lost the Super Bowl. Much better than the team that won the Super Bowl. I just brought up Darren Sproles. People forget he wasn't playing. Carson wasn't playing. He was going to be the MVP that year. Jason Peters wasn't playing, as you mentioned. Jordan Hicks wasn't. Jordan Hicks was their best linebacker. He wasn't playing. The injured Chris Maragos was their best special teams player. He wasn't playing. He was out. And they still found a way to win a Super Bowl. That team is an incredible story because,
yep.
And they beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Unbelievable.
Those would be my two. And by the way, I will throw in just as a wild card is now that the kick return is something, who does that? Because that's a role that actually has some meaning to it. And Cooper has done some of that. You've got a bunch of guys who could be in the mix for that position as well. So all three prongs have some intrigue still to go here. And of course, I mean, yeah. I could throw in, my God, who's going to play linebacker? What are they going to do with that position there? Is it specifically going to be Dean and White? They're the two guys. Is there competition there at all? I think the third rotational, you know, do they have enough depth at defensive end? That's another thing. I mean, is there enough depth? There's so many questions with a team that has so much intrigue now because there's so many new. That's what happens when you're active in free agency. You have a lot of new faces. You bring a lot of new people in. It turns up the intrigue meter, yeah. Definitely.
And don't forget all the changes on the coaching staff, especially on the defensive side. And the most interesting story at all, at Mike Gill Show, make sure you follow Mike on X, 97.3 ESPN, the Sports Bash, 2 to 6 today. The biggest intrigue of all is the offense, not only from the perspective of, you know, they better live up to the expectations, but it's changing. The defense isn't changing. They've been running the Vic Fangio scheme for years. They just have the guy who created it now. So in theory, it should be better. They're changing the offensive philosophy, or maybe we don't know. That to me is the most interesting part of it all. It's Kellen Moore, Nick Sirianni, how they fit together.
Yeah, I don't see how he's going to successfully work all of these elements and adding in Jalen Hurts' legs. Maybe they won't go back to using Jalen Hurts as a runner, but you add Saquon Barkley, you got the two wide receivers. I think that's going to be a tough task. And, John, you always point out the expectation. They were the eighth-ranked offense in the league last year, and everybody acted like they were the worst. It's a lot harder to go from eighth to top five than to elevate the 30th-ranked defense. So from that perspective,
well, 30th passing, I think
30th passing, whatever it was. Overall, I think Vic is going to improve the defense because it's simply easier to do. Kellen has a tall task, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Vic's got an easier job than Kellen Moore in a lot of ways because they're going to be better. I don't know how. The only question is how much better on defense. Offensively, I always point out situational football. Mike, they were third in third down offense. They were first in fourth down offense. I mean, it's tough to get better in those aspects.
Yep.
But people are expecting it, so it's going to be interesting. 2 to 6, as I said, Mike Gill Show, thanks. We kept you a long time. I always appreciate it. And Mike Gill, he's the best in the biz as far as I'm concerned.
Mike, thanks for joining the show, man.
Very nice of you to say, John. Thank you, guys.
See you, Mike.
See you, Mike.
Good stuff from Mike Gill. Good debate on Kenny Gainwell. I thought it was interesting points from everybody, but I'm putting a little more stock into it than you guys are, I will say. Guy on the inside, I think people have the right to feel vindicated from the outside who are given a lot of crap, Johnny Mac.
First of all, with Craig, you know, shut up. He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. He heard something third hand. I don't give a shit. I'll say that first. No, he's not vindicated. Because
in a way, he is, though, Johnny Mac.
Because I can say this right now, Xander. I can say this on where are we? May 8th. And say there's some issue with the Eagles front office. And then if Brandon Hunt leaves, or now Jake Rosenberg takes somebody else, wherever he ends up, I can say, see, I'm sorry, that's bullshit. Either if you got something, say what it is, then you're vindicated.
I understand that, but at the same time, when someone tells you something off the record, you're not going to go out and say it to protect.
No, if somebody says somebody, I have tons of stuff off the record that I can't talk about. That's off the record. That's why I don't talk about it. Now, if you have something legitimate that you can talk about and you want to spike the football, that's fine. But the nebulous aspect, you can say this about 32 NFL teams that, there's some kind of problem in the locker room. You could say that about 32 NFL teams. Eventually, you're going to be right.
Particular instance, a team that came off the Super Bowl started 10-1. The quarterback was again an MVP favorite. They collapse, and people on the outside say, there's a problem, there's a culture problem, so there's something on the inside. Everybody calls them crazy, they just lost the game, whatever. They have the right to say.
I'll give you an example.
At least my eyes didn't lie to me, and I was right in that regard. I think that they have the right to feel vindicated from that perspective.
Well, anybody has a right to do anything they want. I'm not going to tell them what to do. I'm saying it's not meaningful to say, to throw something out there. And only, I'm talking about individuals that throw something out there. I'm not talking about fans can think whatever they want to think, ultimately. My point is, from the larger perspective of when you're winning, you can't claim good culture. And the reason for it is the Jason Kelce's of the world and the Pletches and the BGs and the Lane Johnsons. And then when you're losing and the same people are there and all of a sudden they become bad leaders or not doing the things that they're supposed to do. And the same thing with Jalen Hurts, who's more of a lightning rod in this situation because he's not the obvious overt leader that those guys are because of his personality, his fallback. And literally, you have it in front of you. It was great when they were winning. Flat line. Never gets upset. Always a steady presence. And then when they start losing games, you can't do that. You can't do that. You got to change your personality. Players,
then do you think it's some coaching? A lot of people talked about Nick Sirianni basically getting castrated. They fired the defensive coordinator 12 games into the season when they were 10-2.
Nick made a big mistake by moving on from Sean Desai in season.
Was it Nick or was it Howie?
It was Nick. And he made a big mistake. And I think he knows he made a big mistake now, but he was trying to jolt a situation where the issue was with talent. And then as I said, I'm not a big fan of scapegoating, but that's the nature of the NFL. It's not just the Eagles. Everybody does it. The Eagles are more conservative and lean on the idea of continuity better than most, more so in the front office than the coaching staff. But Jeffrey Lurie's a great owner, but if you're going to criticize him about something, I always criticize him. He's too willing to scapegoat people when things don't reach the expectations. And I think, you know, that's one of the things you can criticize him for. If you want to fire Sean Desai after the season, that's fine. But doing it in season, you saw what happened. It was a big mistake. I think there was this narrative that the Eagles defense was terrible from start to finish, and that's not the case early in the season. Because, you know, people perceive me of defending Gannon all the time. I can talk about this intimately. They were saying, see, he's better than Gannon early in the season. And then all of a sudden he turns into the worst defensive coach in the history of mankind. Well, Vic Fangio recommended him to Philadelphia.
Yeah, and it's not like he got shelled by the Panthers. They were playing good teams. They were in a gauntlet in the schedule.
They destroyed Tampa Bay in week three defensively, the same team they lost to in the playoffs. The Rams, they had that, if you remember the Rams game, they had that bad first half where the Rams were killing them with Cooper Kupp because they had all the issues in the slot. And then they really, you know, made some nice changes in the second half and completely locked them down. There were good spots of defense early in the season. And look, Sean made some serious mistakes, starting with James Bradberry. Don't play James Bradberry. And plenty of things you can criticize him for. But here's an example I wanted to get to, and I know we got to get the break. Brooks Cabina, a buddy from The Athletic, did a story about Kevin Byard saying, you know, the players were trying to take on a bigger role in game planning and a bigger – and but Kevin's point was, because I talked to Kevin about it as well, was he wanted to get people more invested in the defense. And everybody, I mean everybody, ran with that as, oh, they don't trust Sean Desai. They hate Sean Desai. You can't control those outside narratives. But I talked to the guy numerous times about it. That's not what he was trying to say. No matter how many times I say it, and you can ask Brooks, and we'll get Brooks on the show, he'll say the same thing. That's not what he was trying to say. But you, once it leaves the building, you can't control it.
People, we'll get to a break. We'll kick around another. What's that? Yeah.
People think what they want to think.
You're never going to change that. So, all right, we'll get to a break. We got one more topic coming up. We went way over, but in 7 minutes, we will have BLG, Brandon Lee Gowton from Bleeding Green Nation, who does great work over at Bleeding Green. So make sure you follow him on Twitter and read his work. Coming up in 7 minutes, me and Johnny will kick something around. This will be our last time out before BLG. We'll go right to BLG when he's ready. So coming up, stay tuned, everybody, on Bird 365. Oh, make sure you like the show. Reminder, I want to get to 150 in the – during the live show. What are we at right now? I don't know what we're at right now. Somebody tell me if you're in the chat box. I'll take a break and we'll figure out when we get back. But let's get the 150 during the live show. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Stay tuned. More Birds 365 coming up next.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.